I want to read you a couple of scriptures. I've got a sermon in mind today. I'm going to put a title on it. I'm calling it Bright Light in a Dark World. Bright Light in a Dark World. And I want to read from Philippians chapter 2 to continue my series on Philippians. I'm going to read verse 12 and 13 that I preached on last week, and then read 14 and 15 and 16, which I intend to speak on this morning. I will say this, I just thank God for your mercy. I hope you continue to pray. That God will bless me to preach. You already had some prayers this morning. I hope you'll do it during the week. I studied for this, but then, to my delight, God started putting a lot of stuff on my heart that it wasn't even part of my study even this morning. So I feel good about the sermon today. It's kind of going to take a little bit different track than I thought it would take, but I think it's going to be valuable for all of us. So let me read these verses to you in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what I spoke on last week. Now, bright light in a dark world. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. I've not run in vain, they labored in vain. Those are great verses. And this is about grumbling and griping. But I'm going to start out with something different. What do you think the opposite of grumbling and griping is? You know, we all tend to gripe and grumble. If you don't admit to that, you're a better man or woman than I am, or you're lying one or the other. Everything can be going great. Let's say 100 things happen to me in one day. 99 go great. One thing goes wrong, and I get grumbly. You that way? I can't believe myself sometimes. Just unreal. But you're probably the same way or close to it. Maybe you just do maybe five or something. But I don't know about that. But listen, you know what I'm kind of pumped up right now. I got to hear two good sermons this morning. And I want to recommend Brother Bradley, if you're not listening to him, you really ought to be doing that. We're financing that program here in Memphis. He's doing some good preaching. He's on WCRV 640 at 9:30. And so I heard him this morning. But even before that, I get up now. I got a routine for the last few months. I really enjoyed this. Thomas Mann is on a station in West Virginia, and I get to get up and get on the internet. I'll tell you what the deal is now, and then later if you want to do it, I'll tell you again. It's www.wjls. I remember because Jeff loves Susan, Jeff. That's how I remember that. So Jeff is www.wjls. And that's the big dog. I get tickled. It's the big dog. It's really kind of a country western station, but they got some good religious programs. So I heard Thomas this morning. I heard Brother Bradley, and both of them moved me to the core of my soul on being filled with thanksgiving. So let me read you a few verses. I want to talk about griping a little bit and grumbling. That's my sermon, but I want to talk about the antidote to griping and grumbling is thanksgiving. We need to be thankful for what God gives us. We're amazingly blessed. You're so blessed this morning, and I'm so blessed this morning. Just let me read you a song, and then a few things I heard Thomas say, and Brother Brady also along the same line. Okay, I'm going to go to number 22. You think about this now. I'm not going to talk about spiritual blessings yet. I'll get to that later. That's even better than our natural blessings, but we got a bunch of natural blessings. You're not like Ricky, who didn't feel like coming today, who has got one arm like that, and he had a stroke. You're not like that today. But he's grateful. He could be a lot worse with him. You're not like Richard Creekmore, who didn't have hardly any energy. The thing could be a whole lot worse with him, too. You got your five senses, even though some of your senses may not work like you want to, you still got them. I don't think anybody here missing a total sense. But we got them. We are in freedom this morning. We're not worried about somebody breaking in on our assembly. We got food. In fact, most Americans get too much food. Then we got to worry about getting fat. And when a lot of people in the world worry about starving. We're not refugees. We're not driven from our homes like many people in Syria and the other places in the Middle East are right now. You could go on and on, on and on. And even they claim that each of you have a lot of servants. You don't think you got any servants, but you got washing machines, you got dryers, you got dishwashers, you got electricity, you got running water. You don't have to go down to the creek to get water. And haul it back home like my papa used to do, have to do that. And so you just think about all that. you drove here in a car or some kind of a vehicle, I'm sure you did, on a paved road. The church is warm this morning. We got a heater in this thing. So it's amazing how blessed we are. And of course that's minor in a way. It's not really minor at all, but compared with spiritual things, look what we got. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. It's unspeakable. Jesus Christ is unspeakable. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. You know, hell's a real place. It's eternal. There's no hope. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Jesus Christ spoke about hell more than anybody else did. And I deserve to go there. But I don't think I'm going. I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. And I have the earnest, I've got an inheritance with him. Now, when Daddy died, he left us some inheritance, thank God. And I hope I can leave a little bit of inheritance for my kids, but I tell you what, God left us a great big inheritance, did he? We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, faith not away, reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. Nobody can take your reservation. Isn't that great? Sometimes here on earth, you make a reservation and somebody, they make a mistake, but not this time. It's reserved. Ruth Ann's in hers now. Ruth Ann Moore. But not only that, we have the earnest of our inheritance. See, when Daddy died, Uncle Joe was the executor of the estate. And when we needed something, he could go in there and get some money for us. One time we had to get a car. And I got a Volkswagen. And so, I love it old car. We had not get old that. But anyway, we have the earnest of our inheritance. You draw from it all the time. So, we have the Bible, listen, we have the Word of God that people used to didn't even have because it's so expensive before the printing press was invented in the 1440 by Gutenberg. And even after that, they were not all that plentiful. You probably seen these pictures of a Bible chained to the pulpit because they didn't want to get away from them. And people would be standing around in a crowd just listening to the Word of God read. And we can buy a Bible for very, very inexpensive. And we have people who did have the brilliant minds and the dedication to translate in our language. Even some of them gave their lives for doing that. So you keep on going. Now let me read you this song over here. For the beauty, this is 22. For the beauty of the earth, trees are turning right now. I'm just getting excited about this sometimes. Isn't it great that God can just make you all of a sudden well up with joy and just seeing some of your creation? I remember one time I went to Asheville, North Carolina to preach. And I was just down, real bad down. I don't know what I was down about, but I was just down. And so I just didn't even want to go preach hardly. And so I had my family with me. Still had a bunch of kids still at home, maybe all of them. And on Interstate 40, if you ever remember this, when you get on Interstate 40, right before you get to Asheville, North Carolina, there's a great big huge tunnel there. And right above that tunnel, there's some vegetation. I tell you what, that was so pretty. I just almost started shouting. I'm ready to go preach. Just that one thing, look at God's beauty. And this is nothing compared to what's going to be on the new heaven and the new earth. So really, we're in a cursed creation. This week I was listening to some music, some classical music. You've got a pretty classy pastor. I like classical music. Not real heavy stuff, but semi-classical. And I just heard this, and I just got to rejoicing. I got to thinking about how God gives. See, God blesses us to have so many things. So for the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, night sky and day sky both, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Christ our God to thee we raise, this our hymn of grateful praise. For the wonder of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and star of light, Christ our God to thee we raise, this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of him and love. My wife gave me a kiss this morning. I sure did enjoy that. She's kind of like a peg, just an affectionate peg. It just made my day. I think I've done something for her. I said, honey, I'm handing the pocket on her shirt. She said, you're handing five pockets. For the joy of him and love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts in the mouth, Christ our God to thee we raise, this our hymn of grateful praise. For thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love, Christ our God to thee we raise, this our hymn of grateful praise. So that's just kind of a hint Well, so I'm thinking, Brother Brady, and Tom got me all stirred up today, but things I forgot, I'll be thankful for. Well, let me give you a couple of verses on this. I'm going to go to the text in a few minutes. Don't worry. I'm not going to take too long to pay good attention to me. But this is the antidote to griping and grumbling. And we tend to gripe and grumble. Let me say this. I'm going to go ahead before I start, though. Let me give you the verses first. James 1:17. Remember a couple of these verses. Every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above and comes down to the Father of lights, whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Remember that again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Kind of reminds me of Jacob's ladder. Remember Jacob's ladder, which really is, according to John, Jacob's ladder was really a picture of Jesus Christ. And the angels got ascending and descending. I read one commentary said, well, what they're doing, those angels are going for to get blessings and bring them back down. Just keep that ladder hot. Getting blessings from God, bring them back down to us. I like that. So think about that. Now, here's another one for you. This is over at Hebrews 13:15. Get this now. I gave you James 1:17. I'm going to give you Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, this is Jesus Christ, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. There's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We ought to have a great big basket full of praise when we come to church every time. And we ought to have it at home, too. By him, therefore, let's offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. There's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That kind of reminds me of Hugh Hardy when we went to India this time. And I told you about this, but Hugh, of course, used to be a great athlete, had a tremendous job as a petroleum geologist, a brilliant man. Got a tumor on his spine. He's all crippled up now. But in India, he told the story about how that he should have been dead, but he wasn't dead. He should have been totally paralyzed. He wasn't. But he kept telling the people, even if these bad things happened, God is still good. Boy, he really had a testimony. It just blew those people out of the water. Me too. He had a grateful heart, see. Now, I don't have any cripple that I know of at all right now. And I sure ought to have a grateful heart. So we got a lot to be thankful for. Now, let me tell you about something that I don't want this to happen at Grace Chapel. I'm not going to tell you who this is. Some of you can guess it if you want to. And I might even tell you if you ask me privately, if you'd be good about it. But I'm going to tell you about a church that had a great pastor. He's a big preacher. Now, what I mean big, some PB preachers are pretty well-known and pretty established, and they're just big wheels, I guess you might say. That's one of these guys. He's a guy you'd think would never have any trouble whatsoever. So I started getting reports from David Powell. Said, Zachy, have you heard about so-and-so church? Said, they're just losing members. Man, they're just losing members. And I was shocked, just absolutely shocked. The next thing I knew, this man had resigned. And he's pastoring another church now. And I hit him, I would have thought, never had any trouble. You talk about a people person, an able man, a genius. I said, this guy never had any trouble. I might have been an old clodhopper like me, but not him. So I talked to him about that. I saw him at a wedding one time. And I said, what happened? He said, I don't know what happened. He just kind of bewildered. Then he began to tell me about bits and pieces of things that had gone on. I won't tell you what they are. But just bits. And so it finally clicked in my mind. You know what happened? They got in a culture of criticism. That church developed a culture of criticism. That could happen. God doesn't want that to happen. See, if the apostles, who were godly men, and walked with Jesus Christ personally 3.5 years, be arguing on the night of his betrayal who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, it can happen to us. That's why Jesus washed their feet in John 13. So I can see what happened there. I don't know just specifically everything, just a climate of criticism and dissatisfaction. And the devil would like to throw that up everywhere. So let's don't let that happen. Now, we want to let our light shine. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, because that's what this, I said, a bright light in a dark world. And one of the best ways we can let our light shine is by loving each other. That's right. See, the world doesn't love each other. Even the people who are kind of friends, they can kind of turn on each other viciously. That happens all the time. Politicians turn against each other. So the world's used to that. So if they see a climate of people who really do love each other, that's a way to let your light shine. I'm telling you this. I had a friend named Phil Hewitt. See, I went to graduate school, University of Memphis, working on my master's degree in history. And I was a graduate assistant. And I had a friend in the same office with me named Phil Hewitt. And my daddy died in 1965. And so Phil came to the funeral home. Now, he was not a believer. He's not a believer. But he was astounded. He said, Zach, I have never seen people like this. I've never seen friends like this. There's something about those people that came and sympathized with me of my dad's death. And everybody does that in a way. I mean, even people who are atheists are going to go to a funeral and be nice to people and show some compassion. There's something different about that. He was just moved by that. He just went on and on. So I just don't know, what kind of friends you got? Well, what makes y'all tick? So that's why I wanted to be here at Grace Chapel. And we will be if we have an attitude of gratitude. But I'm telling you, we all can get to be grumping and griping. And that'll ruin everything. We can't let that happen. Let me read to you now our text, and then y'all pray attention. I'm going to get to some places. I'm going to quit early now, so you better pay attention. Let's go to these verses. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. I'm going to read you some words. It means what it means. It means grumbling. And why I got it said grumbling. Do all things, don't grumble. A lot of times people start grumbling in small groups. Maybe somebody here at Grace Chapel gets dissatisfied with something, so they start talking to somebody else. That's probably what happened in this church I'm telling you about. And they kind of get to grumbling, see? And so that's dang. Don't do that. Brother Wallace used to say, that's the worst thing that hurt church is the use of our tongue. When we're, if you got something against somebody, go to them, like the Bible says do. If you got something against me, come to me, for God's sake. I make a lot of mistakes. I know I do. I can get mad myself. So come to me. Work it out. Work it out. The devil don't want us to do that. We don't confront each other. We must do that. We got a pretty good church here, but my friend, we can't take anything for granted because we all have human nature. We're all sinners. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, I'm going to read you some text on this. Let's go a few texts on this question right here. I've got quite a few scriptures. Let's go to them. This is dangerous business. I'm telling you, dangerous business. Over in 1 Corinthians 10:10, I'm going to read these to you. Not go too fast, but fast enough I got to move along. In the Old Testament, when they brought the people out of the land of Egypt, that's a great blessing. Those people were complaining down there. They were miserable. They were crying to God Almighty, right? You remember the big pyramids over there? That's made on the backs, my friend, people, the Israelites. A lot of them died in that arduous labor. And old Pharaoh was making them make bricks, you remember, even without a straw one time. So they got out of there. Hallelujah. They should have been thanking God. God got them out of there. Amazing. Slaves. Horrible slaves. Terrible taskmasters. And God sprung them out of there. Oh, grateful the rest of my life. Nope. They griped and they griped and they griped. Read the Old Testament. Well, let's look at a verse. Paul said, don't do that now. Over in 1 Corinthians 10:10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, were destroyed of the destroyer. He said, don't do that. That's an example to us. Don't do what they did. Don't be murmuring, complaining. Kids, y'all listen too. You kids listen too. You got good moms and daddies. You bind them and you be thankful for them. Don't you get mad just because maybe daddy, you think you made a mistake or mama did. You love them. Here, let our household be filled with gratitude and not complaining against each other. I'm going to read you several places now, not in a big hurry, but in a hurry enough. Get the verses down if you want them. If you don't, I'll give them to you later. But just to show you what Paul meant. Exodus chapter 15, verse 24. Exodus 15, 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Remember that time? Well, God provided water for them, but they got griping. First thing, they get a little thirsty, start griping. Murmur. See? Over in Exodus 16, 3. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Well, they forgot how bad it was down there, didn't they? When we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth to the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Not enough water, not enough food, not trusting God. They just drove Moses crazy almost. You know, Moses finally made a mistake. Remember that? He got so mad he made a mistake. He shouldn't have done that, and so he didn't get to go to Canaan's land. But I can imagine him getting griped off. Every time you turn around, these people are ungrateful. Over Numbers 14, 27. Well, no. First of all, Exodus 17, 3. I'm going to give you four or five of these. Exodus 17, 3. And the people thirsted there for water. That's a different occasion. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us, our children, and cattle of thirst? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Number 14, 27. The Lord speaking here to Moses. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. See, God hearing all that. He's hearing all that. And so Jude is a great book. I love the book of Jude. It's a small book, one chapter. He talked about a lot of the ungodly people and how we need to contend for the faith, which wants to deliver the saints. So he says here in verse 16, the Lord's talking about these people now. There are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, their mouth speaketh great flooding words, having men's persons in aberration because of advantage. There are murmurers and complainers. And one verse in Romans, which I won't go there, talk about unthankful and unholy. And that's also in Peter, 2 Peter. Unthankful and unholy. See, people don't have a thankful heart. Look at our country today. Look at all the griping people do. Every age, every racial group just about gripes. We're not getting what we're coming. We get the best country in the world still, folks. David Powell, when he went to Siberia, said, I will never feel sorry for a poor American again. That's what David Powell said. Even my cousin, Philip, who's just on the public dole, could not get the kind of medical care he'd get right now. He'd be blind right now for glaucoma if it wasn't for our country. He wouldn't have enough food to eat. But what do you see all the time in our country? Discontent, griping and complaining. You don't think God hears that? We can't do that now. We cannot be that way. We must not be that way. We must be a bright light in a dark world. And the darker the world, the better our light will shine. So I'm so spoiled. I'll tell you how spoiled I am. I hate to admit this. My wife's such a good cook, and she's such a good planner. It just amazes me. And I'm so spoiled, if I get something I don't halfway like, I get mad about it. I usually don't tell her I'm mad. I kind of bite my cheek and tell it, though. Isn't that awful? That's awful, isn't it? I eat like a king. It's amazing. The variety of food, the quantity of food. My friend, I've got to ask God to help me not do that. Because my God told me with food, and he didn't mean real good food either. He didn't say that. With food and raiment, they were to be content. You know, the Bible also says godliness with contentment is great gain. And a man named Jeremiah Burroughs wrote a great book called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. It's a rare jewel. So you get you home, say, God, this could be the best thing you've ever had. I'm going to thank you more than I ever have, God. Let's try to ask God to do us, help us do that. Okay, murmuring and complaining. Now, when we have difficulty, what should we do then? I'm going to tell you what you need to do. And there are real difficulties. I'm not saying that. Somebody hadn't treated you right. That happens all the time. People don't treat us right. Well, not to surprise us, should it? My wife treats me right almost all the time, but if she misses a time or two, I'll expect it. She's not perfect. She's a sinner. I'm not saying just give your kids a free ride, discipline them, but when they mess up, don't get too bent out of shape. They're sinners. Don't you remember that? Don't you remember that? You remember what Joshua McDowell said now about disciplining kids? This is great now. I've done it before. The three R's. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. Get that relationship going. Let the kids know you love them. And when church members just let us down, big deal. We can get over that. They're sinners. What do we expect? Your old pastor messes up? I hope you cut me some little slack. I am a sinner, believe it or not. Should have said that. You know, it's not like, Bob, I told Judy, I said, Judy, I wish you was like Sister Copeland. And Sister Berry, W.J. Berry's wife. I love Mabel Berry. She's a great woman. But she wrote a biography of her husband after he died. And I showed it to Judy, but she doesn't get it. She said, if Daddy had any fault, it's he was too humble. The only fault he had, he was too humble. And Sister Copeland got Alzheimer's. And so she's up there at the church where Jimmy Barber used to be, up there at Mossy Grove. So Brother Jimmy preached on total depravity one day. And so Sister Copeland sent me $2,200. And so Brother Jimmy said, hey, Brother Copeland's in the center. She said, I think Brother Jimmy wrong about talking about that at once. So you haven't got that trouble. But y'all cut me a little slack. Let's cut each other slack. My friend, let's do like the Lord. Let's do like the Lord does us. Psalm 103. He knows our frame. He remembers we're dust. Let's remember that, okay? We're all dust. Don't we all expect things out of each other, help each other out? But don't get too shook up when somebody failed us a little bit, because we failed them also. Now, here's what we need to do then. Somebody does me wrong, or something happens that I don't like. What should I do? Well, I got the verse for you. I need to commit it to God. I read you the verse. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. Who, when he is reviled, reviled not again. He didn't come back at him. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He said, Lord, you judge. I'm committing. You're the Supreme Court. I'm going to submit to you. That's what you need to do. Remember that verse. Now, you know what? Murmuring almost caused the early church irreparable damage, but God, his wisdom, knew what to do about it. In the early church, they had these widows, and in those days, they didn't have welfare, so the church was supposed to take care of the widows, which we need to do that. We do a good job at Grace Chapel. I'm not complaining about that. This is a good, compassionate church. Good deacons, good, compassionate people here, generous people. But, I mean, a widow indeed was in trouble most days. So the church was taking care of their needs. Well, they had two kind of widows in the church. They had the Hebrew widows, and they had the Hellenistic widows, the Greek widows. And what that meant was this. The Hebrews were the people who had spoke Aramaic. They were there, already been in Palestine. The Greek widows, those who had been dispersed out, the Hellenistic people, and they were kind of regarded as a little bit second class with some of them, especially those old Pharisees. So what happened, there's a dispute in the church. I'll read it to you over here in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. There had some good days. They had the Lord adding to the church. So the devil was trying to get in there and do something because he didn't like what was going on. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So, man, that's explosive. That's explosive. You know what God did? He created the office of deacon. Isn't that great? You deacons are valuable guys. He said, okay then, look you up. So we hadn't got time to do all this, the pastor said. We're busy we can be. All this addition to the church. So you look out, seven men, for the wisdom of the Holy Ghost who will put over this. And the thing was solved. Isn't that way God solved it? But the murmuring was there, though. The murmuring was there. They had to overcome that. Okay, let's keep reading. Let's read verse 15 and 16. I'm going to get to the positive part of this. Now, you may be blameless and harmless. That's what we ought to do, be blameless and harmless. The sons of God. Now, what do you mean by sons of God? That doesn't mean that we're working for our salvation. That means we're more manifesting our sonship. You become what you really are. See? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation on whom you shine as light in the world. You know what scoliosis is? When you get that crooked spine, this comes to the Greek word right here. My friend, listen, let me tell you something. We're living in a crooked and perverse generation. Let me have an amen on that. A little bit louder.
Amen.
It's unreal. It's unreal, isn't it? It's always been that way, but it's getting worse, isn't it? You sitcoms, transgender stuff, I mean, it's just stuff you don't even talk about. Baby killing. Calling good evil and evil good. That's it in Isaiah 5, they do that. They call evil good and good evil. Put darkness for light and light for darkness. Bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. That's over in Isaiah 5. That's where we're at. Call good people bad and bad people good. Don't you read your papers? You hear the news programs? It's evil to try these Ten Commandments in a good courtroom. Man. When I was a kid, show you how old I am, guess what we had in homeroom? Bible reading. Can you believe that? Y'all believe that? I'm not lying. One of my sweet memories at White Station School that I went to for the first three grades was in Christmas time, right at the foyer, they had a great big gigantic family Bible out there, turned to Luke chapter 2 about the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's cool. Public school. You try that now, and you're going to probably get fired. I know you would get fired. Well, the ACLU is going to be down on your back. We live in a crooked, perverse generation. We live in a generation when divorce is just as prominent among professed Christians as it is the people who don't profess Christianity. Look up George Gallup's. I mean, George, what's that guy's name, the Christian pollster? What's his name?
Barna,
George Barna. So I don't know about the true Christians, but the professed Christians, most of the things that the world's guilty of they're also guilty of almost the same percentage. Now look, what you and I want to do at Grace Chapel, precious brothers and sisters, and you're doing that, but I want to encourage you to keep on doing it and even get better. I want us to be a bright light in this world we live in. You don't have to make a lot of noise. Just be a good, godly, consistent Christian. Like, I know many of you are. Got good neighbors. They know who you are. You know, I'm not bragging on myself, but I love people anyway. I'm compassionate. I've just kind of got that kind of a nature. I got plenty of bad for it. Don't work, get me on that. But people know when I go somewhere, they like me. I go down to Advanced Muffler down there. Those guys know I care about them. I went by to see old Danny Bug the other day down here at Bug's Buggy to see how his brain tumor's doing. My wife, every time I just love the sweet way she says have a good day to anybody that ever waits on her, anywhere. So you do that. I know you're doing it, but my friend, we need to have a bright witness in the world we live in. Right? Isn't it great to be able to do that? In my little bitty way, let a light shine in the light. Okay, let's keep reading here. I'm fixing to quit here in a minute. You may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. You may be a crooked and perverse nation. Boy, it sounds like you're talking about our country. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. I don't run in vain, nor labor in vain. Now, I'm going to tell you about that verse. I don't know how to explain that verse, that last verse, but I'm going to tell you an experience I had one time. One man I respected very, very much was V.F. Lawrence. Brother Virgil Lawrence was a great preacher from over in Arkansas. I think he wound up in Little Rock or Hot Springs 1. Anyway, he had a legend, my old Baptist. He had a brother named Virgil. He was also B.J. Lawrence out in Texas. But Virgil was a little bit more serious-minded than Virgil. Virgil was a good guy, but he had a big sense of humor. But anyway, Brother Virgil Lawrence one time was preaching at Ozias Church. Now, I was there in Georgia. And hear what he said. And I believe this, too. I can't explain it, so don't bug me about this too much. He said, holding forth the word of life, I may rejoice in the day of Christ. I don't run in vain, they labor in vain. He said, people, I don't know what they understand. I said exactly, we're going to know if we get to heaven some things we're doing. I don't know how it will work. We're going to know. I'm going to be thankful for the people I minister to when I get the glory. I'm not saying I'm going to get a bunch of crown. I don't believe in that crown stuff. I mean, I believe God gave you a crown, but I don't think you earn any of them. But there's some consequences in heaven what we're doing right now. Paul said, I will rejoice. When, Paul? In the day of Christ. I'm not running in vain, neither labored in vain. So I got a big stake in you. I'm interested in what you do. I'm not trying to pad myself up, but I'm interested in what you're doing, how you turn out. We all want our kids to turn out well, right? Well, I want my spiritual children to turn out well. So my friend, I'm exhorting you, lest you and I, by God's wonderful grace, shine as lights in this world we live in. It's a dark world. And we can't murmur, complain, and grumble. We got to have grateful hearts.